Hey everyone, Eric Cochran here with another episode of the Sandstorm Podcast. Today, we've got a story that, well, let's just say it's a perfect example of the chaos and confusion taking hold on college campuses these days. Picture this. Columbia University, one of the most prestigious schools in the country, a place where the best and brightest go to expand their minds and engage in thoughtful discourse. At least that's how it's supposed to work in theory. But lately, things have taken a troubling turn. In recent days, pro-Palestinian protesters have essentially taken over parts of Columbia's campus. They've staged sit-ins, disrupted classes, and demanded the school divest from any companies with ties to Israel. It's reached a point where the administration felt they had no choice but to move classes online yesterday just to let things simmer down. Now look, I'm all for free speech and peaceful protest. It's part of what makes this country great. But when you've got people trying to shut down an entire university using intimidation to push their political agenda, something's gone seriously wrong. Students should absolutely speak their minds, but not at the expense of their classmates' education. And here's the kicker. This isn't just happening at Columbia. We're seeing similar protests and confrontations unfold at places like Yale, USC, campuses across the country. In a lot of these cases, Jewish students say they're being targeted and harassed. The whole situation is a powder keg waiting to explode. So how did we get here? How have things escalated to a point where a school like Columbia, with its $4 billion endowment and army of faculty and administrators, can't maintain basic order and decorum on its own campus? Well, the truth is, this has been building for a long time. For years, university leadership has bent over backwards to accommodate activist groups, handing them concession after concession, all in the name of open-mindedness and inclusion, but you give an inch, and they'll take a mile. Now the inmates are running the asylum. Some elected officials are starting to say enough is enough. Representative Virginia Fox, who chairs the Congressional Committee overseeing education, straight up told Columbia that their federal funding could be at risk if they don't get their house in order. She accused them of failing to meet their basic legal obligations to maintain a safe environment. Another Republican, Representative Elise Stefanik, went even further. She called for the resignation of Columbia's president, saying the school has failed to protect Jewish students in the face of blatant anti-Semitism on campus. Those are strong words, but it shows you how serious this has become. Meanwhile, the university administration seems content to just wring their hands. Columbia's president put out a mealy-mouthed statement about wanting to have discussions and find a resolution with the protesters. Good luck with that. These activists have shown zero interest in discussion or compromise. They've got demands and they want them met. Everyone else be damned. Mark my words, if schools don't start taking a harder line against this kind of nonsense, we're going to see more and more of it. Colleges used to be a place for the open exchange of ideas. Even if you disagreed with someone, you could at least have a rational conversation. Now it's submit to the mob or face the consequences. I'll tell you one thing. If this was a conservative group sowing chaos and discord on campus, you can bet the administration's response would be swift and severe. They'd bring down the hammer without a second thought. So why the double standard? Why are they so afraid to stand up to the activist crowd? Pro-Palestinian protesters are staging sit-ins, disrupting classes, even harassing Jewish students, according to some reports. And how have the powers that be responded? By bending over backwards to appease the mob. Columbia's president seems more interested in having discussions with these agitators than restoring basic law and order. It's pathetic. You know, I was doing some digging and I came across a quote from a rabbi at Columbia. He's urging Jewish students to leave campus immediately, saying their safety can't be guaranteed in the face of extreme anti-Semitism and anarchy. Can you imagine? We're talking about an Ivy League university in the biggest city in America, and a rabbi is telling Jewish kids to flee for their lives? If that doesn't set off every alarm bell, I don't know what will. Of course, the protesters insist this has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. They put out a statement saying they reject any form of hate or bigotry. Well, I've got a bridge to sell you. The reality is, you can't separate anti-Israel activism from anti-Semitism. They're two sides of the same coin. when you've got people running around calling Israel an apartheid state, demanding boycotts and sanctions? What kind of message does that send to Jewish students? That they're complicit in some kind of grand evil? That they don't belong? And spare me the crocodile tears about legitimate criticism of Israel. There's nothing legitimate about these campus inquisitions. It's a way to bully and intimidate Jewish kids, plain and simple. But here's the part that really fries me. While all this is going on, while Jewish students are literally being told to evacuate for their own safety, the President of the United States has said nothing, not a word. Oh, sure. The White House put out some generic statement denouncing anti-Semitism. But where's Joe Biden? Why hasn't he picked up the phone, called the President of Colombia, and said, shut it down, I don't care how, get control of your campus before someone gets hurt? Instead, he's completely MIA. Just like he was when rioters were burning down cities a couple of summers ago. Great leadership, Joe. Way to have your finger on the pulse. And honestly, is it any wonder things have gotten this out of hand? When you've got a president who won't lift a finger and university administrators who are scared of their own shadow, what do you expect to happen? Look, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The vast majority of these protesters don't want a conversation. They don't want to raise awareness or start a dialogue. They want to impose their will, shut down anyone who disagrees with them, and remake these universities in their own radical image. And if the grown-ups in the room, the college presidents, the politicians, the so-called leaders, if they're not willing to put their foot down and say enough, then the lunatics will keep running the asylum. It's time to stop coddling these agitators. You don't like a school's investment policies? Don't go there. Take your tuition dollars elsewhere. Trust me, they'll get the message real quick. And if you break the law, if you harass and intimidate your fellow students, guess what? You should be expelled. No ifs, ands, or buts. Let these activists explain to their parents why they torpedoed their college career. See how much sympathy they get. The bottom line is we need to restore some common sense and moral clarity in higher education, because right now the nihilists and the grievance mongers are winning. And if they succeed in making our college campuses a no-go zone for Jewish students or anyone else who doesn't conform to their rigid ideology, then we'll have lost something precious, and I don't know if we'll ever get it back. We've been talking about the protests and disruptions that have essentially paralyzed Columbia University and other colleges in recent days. Ostensibly, these demonstrations are about Israel and Palestine, but I think there's a deeper pathology at work. I've been in and around politics for a long time, and one thing I've learned is that most people, even the ones you disagree with, are coming from a sincere place. They have convictions, they have principles that guide them. I respect that. But what we're seeing on a lot of these college campuses, not about principles, it's about power. It's about a small group of agitators, people who are absolutely convinced of their own righteousness, trying to impose their will on everyone else. And the universities have no one to blame but themselves. For years, they've fostered this culture of grievance and victimhood. They've taught an entire generation that whoever shouts the loudest, whoever claims to be the most oppressed, they get to call the shots. Well, now the chickens are coming home to roost. These administrators are reaping what they've sown, and sadly, it's the students who are paying the price. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day. He's a professor at a big state school in the Midwest, and he told me about a student of his, a bright kid, curious, hardworking, but he's terrified to speak his mind in class. Why? Because he knows if he says the wrong thing, if he challenges the prevailing orthodoxy, he'll be branded a racist or a bigot. He'll face social shunning, maybe even academic retaliation. So he keeps his head down, parrots the acceptable opinions, and just tries to survive. That breaks my heart. College should be a time of intellectual adventure, a place to test your beliefs, poke at your blind spots, and emerge with a clearer sense of yourself and the world. But for a lot of kids, that's not the reality anymore. I'll never forget my time in college. Late night debates with my dorm mates, hours spent browsing the library stacks for some book that blew my mind. Those experiences shaped me. They made me a better thinker, a better citizen, a better man. Colleges need to find their backbone, because right now they're letting their students down. They're sacrificing the noble pursuits of learning and growth on the altar of political correctness. So, where do we go from here? How do we pull back from the brink and restore some sanity to higher education? I've got a few ideas. First, universities need to recommit to their core purpose, the pursuit of knowledge and truth, not advancing some narrow political agenda. That means cracking down on these disruptive protests. It means holding students accountable for their behavior, even if it means expelling the worst offenders. Second, professors and administrators need to show some moral leadership. Enough with the mealy-mouthed platitudes, enough with the cringing capitulation to the mob. You're the adults in the room. Start acting like it. College presidents, if you really believe in academic freedom, then have the guts to defend it. Don't leave your students and faculty twisting in the wind. And finally, to every fair-minded student out there, to all the kids who just want an honest education without being force-fed propaganda, you need to speak up. Don't let the bullies win. Don't let them shame you into silence. Find your allies on campus and off. Talk to your parents, your friends, your representatives in government. Let them know what's really going on. Together, we can turn this tide, and I still believe in our colleges and universities. I still believe they can be beacons of learning and enlightenment. But it's going to take all of us standing up and fighting for the soul of American higher education. The stakes couldn't be higher. That's all for today, folks. As always, you can find all the links and resources mentioned in the show at sandstormdaily.com. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and stay tuned. There's a lot more to come.